Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
I'm here.
You are here.
What happened there? That was...
I don't know. I was going to think of a thing to say.
Did you forget what my name was?
I was going to say co-host with the mo...
Host?
But I think I've already said that. Also, it doesn't make sense.
No, it's not a...
Yeah. It's not anything.
It's not a mohawk?
No.
Next you haven't mentioned my mohawk.
Well, yeah, it's very good.
Thank you.
And people will see your mohawk in person next week. Some people, anyway.
That's right.
We're doing our Planet Broadcasting live launch event next Saturday. So by the time the next week's episode comes out, it'll be done.
Yeah, 25th of March.
It'll either be a crippling failure or a crippling success.
Also, if we're going to do plugs, I'll get them all out of the way. Like, yeah, no, that's true. I was on this week's episode of It's a Duck Blue with our friends Michael and
Great
Sarah.
Great show.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about the episode of Yuppie Duck.
Any Gizmo Duck?
No Gizmo Duck.
Yeah, you've never done a Gizmo Duck one. That's your dream.
It's my dream to do a Gizmo Duck episode.
Yuppie Duck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the boys, the nephews.
The Beagle Boys.
No, the Duck Boys.
You can't call them that because there's the Beagle Boys, so you got to call them something else.
You've really put me in a bind here.
Sorry, I know you pre-planned this, but I really derailed it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's on iTunes. Check
yep, absolutely. It's a duck yeah.
If you want to watch the episode first, then you can sort of listen along with us.
Definitely. Yeah. Sounds good, Mason.
Yeah.
Great people.
Good
and
people.
Great podcast.
Mm-hmm.
All right, first bit of news.
Michael Rosenbaum
and Sylvester Stallone, they're both playing very important roles in Guardians of the Galaxy
that's
Volume
right.
2.
So Michael Rosenbaum was Lex Luthor in... Smallville?
Yes.
And Sly Stallone was Tango in Tango and Cash.
Correct.
His most famous role.
I think he was Cash. He was one of them. He was the stockbroking one. He was the nerd.
He was the nerd.
To Kurt Russell's Man of the Street.
And he famously disses Rambo in that role.
Right. That's true. Yeah. And Kurt Russell also famously disses his penis size in a shower scene.
There you go. So,
there's a lot of dissing going on in that movie.
There's a lot of dissing and flying fox and out of prison.
And one high five, but it's well earned.
Mm.
Michael Rosenbaum was also in the movie Sorority Boys.
Yes, he was. Yep. And he's in some sort of pool sharking movie as well, I think.
Okay. Pool sharky.
Yeah.
Pool Sharky and the Boys.
That's the one.
Good. Anyway, so their roles, though, we don't know what they are, but James Gunn said they're linked to each other.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know. I have no idea who that is.
We received some speculation on the Gmail.
I'm ready.
I'll find it for you. We can edit out this silence.
I won't.
Unless I keep talking, in which case there'll be just enough silence for it to be annoying for the listener. Hot scoop room, I guess. Here we go. Our friend Vinny Policastro.
Right.
New York style.
Yeah.
Here's a theory that they might be Galactus and Silver Surfer.
Oh, that would be pretty good.
That'd be pretty good. I mean, it involves some... It involves some wheeling and dealing because they're owned by...
Yeah, various, all different.
Fox, Sony,
are they? Because there could have been some trading happening.
We don't know, yeah.
Oh, those are good castings.
But they are two characters linked together.
Yeah.
Michael Rosenbaum, bald. Yes, I mean, not bald, he shaves his head.
But he can be bald. He's proven that he can be bald. Yeah.
He's a proven bald man. Also, that means that Tango and Cash are both going to be in this movie.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Right?
Have they done anything else together?
Maybe, how about this? they're Tango and Cash, and Michael Rosenbaum plays their son. Yeah. They've adopted or given birth to.
It's space, so
it's space,
anything
yeah.
goes, man.
That's right. Who do you think it might be?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, right.
But I like that. Well, I guess if you've got Ego, the Living Planet, it's not crazy that they would put in Galactus.
They could be... And they're traditional rivals.
That's right.
Galactus and a planet that Galactus wants to eat.
Yes, that's right.
Tango and Cash style. You know?
I get it, yeah.
And at the end, they could maybe have a well-earned high five.
Just crash into each
other.
Yes. I love it. Mm. We got more Guardians of the Galaxy news, but this time it's for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
What?
If you don't mind me jumping ahead a few years.
Second one's not even out yet.
I'm not even sure
the first one's out yet.
That is definitely out. That's been out for a while. You've seen it multiple times.
Okay, cool.
But James Gunn said that it definitely will happen, but he might not direct it, which is no surprise. I mean, he said something like, they're a 3-year commitment. I've done two. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I can understand that. It would be a shame if he didn't, but also if he's not really feeling it.
Exactly.
Fair enough. Sam Raimi Spider-Man 3.
Exactly. And he's going to spend, as it is, he's going to spend the rest of his life fielding questions about every single frame of both of those movies.
Yeah, that's right.
In this speck of dirt, in this part of the cosmos, was that this character? Yes. It definitely was. Sure. Totally. It was that guy.
It was
your favorite character that I put in a speck of dust in that nebula because I knew you'd see it and I knew you'd love it.
But Let me
just sign everything you have
here.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'll go.
96 years old. Being asked these questions. Yeah. Do you have anyone who you'd think would be good to take on that?
Ooh.
It's because it's a very... It's a very specific universe. I mean, we've seen one at this point, but even from judging by the trailers of the second one, it feels very him.
Yeah,
and the world
needs
he's
a specific
created.
Sensibility.
Yeah.
Let's
say Matthew Vaughn.
I was going to say bring Kenneth Branagh back. See what
he could do. Yeah, sure.
He does with it.
Well, he's kind of more Shakespearean, but I reckon he could do it.
I only say that because we just saw Kenneth Branagh in a trailer.
We did.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that trailer?
Yes,
then?
Let's talk about it.
Mindhorn. From the creator, one of the creators of the Mighty Boosh.
Yeah, so that's Julian Barrett, who was Howard Moon in the Mighty Boosh.
Yep.
Also wrote half of it and did all the music. And
my understanding is, and I think you told me this, that the weirdness of the Mighty Boosh and all the off-kilter stuff was Noel Fielding. And the structure and a lot of the kind of... The plot and, you know...
The characterisation.
Yeah, what came from him. Is that correct?
No, that's an assumption on my part.
Oh, okay.
Only because Noel Fielding afterwards did Noel Fielding's luxury comedy, which is just... Wibbly wobbly weirdness,
wheeling
but no
and,
plots.
Yeah, okay.
So
right, gotcha.
I don't know.
Too many
anyway,
plates spinning.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
But this looks really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
This, I don't know. Is this outside of the scope of our podcast necessarily?
It's a movie trailer.
Yeah, totally.
So it's a fake TV show from the '80s, like a MacGyver or a what's his name, the $6 Million Man or whatever.
It's very $6 Million Man. It's a bit Airwolf. I don't
right,
know.
That's
what
yeah,
I think
yeah.
of that. So he portrays this washed up actor who in the '80s played Britain's greatest detective, Mindhorn, who has a bionic eye that lets him detect lies.
He can see your lies.
He can see your lies. And now he's out of work.
It's modern day.
Yeah, modern day. He's out of work and a serial killer is on the loose who believes that Mindhorn is a real detective and will only speak to him.
Right.
So he has to come back into action for the first time, basically.
Very excited.
Looks exciting. Looks great.
What was the last thing that he did? I can't even remember.
It's a good question. I don't know.
It's probably been quietly chipping away.
Yeah, I think he's made some guest appearances and stuff like that. He's been in a couple of movies in little spots. The last, if people have seen The Mighty Boosh and want something else, he's also in the show Nathan Barley, which is I think it came in like 2004 or something like that.
Is that the one that predicted memes and the rise of like the internet culture?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he plays it.
Charlie Brooker made that, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah. So he plays a journalist who writes an article called Rise of the Idiots, which is about, I don't know, just like real
vlogging.
Vlogging and hipsters and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And they all collectively gather around him because they think he wrote it ironically.
Yeah, right.
And so
he
sort of becomes this folk hero and he's involved with all this stuff and he meets a guy called Nathan Barley who's like the king of the idiots.
Yeah.
So.
Who's a lot of those Nathan Barley guys like exist now.
Oh, yeah, totally.
In real
life. Yeah,
like
exactly.
It really was ahead of its time. If you release that now, you'd be like, well, this isn't very kind of, you know, this is a pretty obvious kind of parody. But this happened like 10 years before shit actually happened.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a great show.
Yeah.
Anyway, this looks like fun. It does look a lot It's got Steve Coogan in it. It does look a lot like, remember Alpha Papa?
Yeah, it's great.
Which is the last Alan Partridge movie. But it's kind of the same theme of like...
Right. Washed up.
Washed up guy.
Yeah. British.
British. Has to get amongst it and get in the action. But I don't know. Looks fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited about it. I'm well into it, Mason. I don't mind.
Me too.
Are you well into Henry Cavill joining MI6 potentially as the villain? Not the real MI6.
I was going to say, yeah. It took me a second and I'm like, what? Man from... Because he was in Man from U.N.C.L.E.
He was in Man from U.N.C.L.E., yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, real MI6? Is this a promotional video for MI6?
Do you think...
So Mission Impossible 6.
Yes.
He's not the lead.
No. I think... Do you think if it's MI6, it's going to be British intelligence? They'll base it around
that? I hope
so. I mean, MI5 wasn't based around British intelligence. Or was it?
Oh.
I don't remember.
It definitely was not.
But there was a British lady in it.
Yes.
And he did an underwater swim.
That's true. He did an underwater swim through an underwater fan.
Yeah.
It's true.
But, no, what do you think of that?
I think it'd be missing a trick if they didn't.
Yeah.
There you go.
Agreed.
And he can get to use his own accent.
Do you think that...
I don't know what it is. I assume it's posh-ish.
It's posh-ish, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, posh-ish. Mm. Have you ever seen The Count of Monte Cristo?
No.
From the early 2000s? 2004, I want to say. It's got Guy Pearce.
No.
It's got a young Henry Cavill.
No.
And Jim Caviezel.
Oh.
It's a good movie, man. Mm. Do you like revenge?
Yeah, I love revenge.
Do you like sword fighting?
I don't love revenge and vendettas as much as you do, but I like revenge.
Yes, I'm a big fan of revenge. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think it's definitely worth checking out. And great, good. More spy stuff for Henry Cavill, who was nearly Bond as well. So
that's true.
That was a thing that very, very nearly happened. Here's something that has been happening and will continue to happen for the foreseeable future.
Good link, whatever this is, that's a great link.
Last night, Mason, I watched the Last Night trailer.
Same, I did as well.
No, you watched it here, not last night.
Oh, I see.
This
night.
You've
confused me again.
Yes, I have. What did you think?
Again, it looks great. I don't mind it. It looks great, but it's going to be excruciating and long.
Why is the girl looking at the camera?
It seemed like she was about to advertise some sort of
like a Nerf.
maybe I thought more of a nutritional supplement
right.
for teens or
yeah,
something.
Sure. Yeah.
They say I fight like a girl and I throw like a girl. Yeah. Nike.
Yeah. Right. Sure.
All right. I'm on board. But again, it's not going to be great.
No. Certainly not. It's. I can see the other movies that it's aping in it.
Yep.
They did bring back the Dinobots, which I didn't think they would. But like there's the little BB-8 droid that she kind of hangs
out with.
You know what I mean? There's the little cute dinosaurs, which is, you know, kind of like your minions or whatever.
Did Grimlock give birth to those?
It's a really good question.
Like hermaphroditic?
I don't know what any of them are. It's never been explained.
Never explained, right? Yeah.
But there's also girl ones because we've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
In the second one, I think there's motorcycle.
The RC twins.
Yeah.
The three RC twins.
That's right. Yeah. Very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any answers to that. But it looks like it's Planet of the Apes except drones have taken over or something.
Right. I think maybe those are Unicron's drones.
Oh, okay, right. Mm. So Unicron's come to Earth and...
I think that's
doing a thing.
Do you think these movies would work better with the sound off?
Oh wait, I think they'd be less obnoxious.
I think with a critical edit and no audio of any kind.
Yeah, okay.
I think they'd be quite serviceable.
You're probably not wrong.
Somebody try that out there.
I think with a critical edit and a high pitched wail, I think it would be much absolutely. Better. If I'm honest,
yeah. With a critical edit and like a knitting needle through the ear directly into the brain, I think they'd be quite good. Serviceable.
I'd love to be surprised though.
Me too.
Yeah. So remember the fifth one's when things get good again or something.
That's worked precisely once for the Fast and Furious franchise.
We've also got Pirates 5 coming this year.
Oh.
It's gearing up, mate.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So also like.
But also aren't we hoping that this one is good-ish and does well enough that we get a sequel not directed by Michael Bay? Isn't that
no, you know what? I'd rather see none forever
than
it do really well.
Uh-huh.
I feel like a lot of people like these, but I just...
Nobody likes them.
No, people email and tweet and say they enjoy them, so I can't, you know. I don't,
all right.
But I'm not a... I don't like them. I don't like them, mate.
Good way to take a stand there. Just trail off. I don't like them.
Not a fan. DC News.
Oh.
Got a bunch of it. Some good, some bad, some puzzling. I've just kind of
The Riddler's back.
Yes, he's back. Remember when everyone was like, get Leonardo DiCaprio to play the Riddler in Dark Knight 3? Remember that?
Yeah,
that
I
was
remember
like
that.
There was a lot of fan art.
Neil Patrick Harris was an option as well, I think.
No, not in that world. Doesn't work.
Because he's too theatrical?
Yeah, exactly. Not in the Nolan world. I think maybe in this current one,
oh,
sure.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But in The Dark Knight, no. No, mm-hmm. I don't think so. Don't get me wrong, he's a song and dance man. He can do anything. Mm. But no, stay in your bloody corner, Neil Patrick Harris.
All right.
For that movie that you were never considered for.
Hugh Jackman's also a song and dance man, and he pulled off Logan, so.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And that one, the magician one.
Precisely.
But that was very theatrical, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Mm.
Let's kick things off, though.
If Hugh Jackman feels natural in any particular pose, it's either adamantium claws out.
Sure.
Or with like a cape in front of his face. You know?
Phantom of the Opera style.
Swooshing it in front of his case. Face.
Case.
In front of his case.
That's right. Man of Steel 2 might be directed by Matthew Vaughn.
All right.
That's great news. Mm. We were talking about this the other week and we were trying to think of directors. Uh-huh. And a lot of people tweeted as well, like, why didn't you say Matthew Vaughn? You guys always talk about Matthew Vaughn.
Because it was so obvious. Obviously, we were thinking about saying
we didn't forget.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is a great choice.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, if I was Matthew Vaughn.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, I'm not Matthew Vaughn. He's had a really good run with the kind of Fox, Mark Millar comic book movies. He did Kick-Ass and he did Kingsman. And he's going to do Kingsman 2.
Mm-hmm.
He should do Superior. Instead of Man of Steel.
Yeah, okay, right.
That's what, if I was him, then that way you can craft your own universe. He left the X-Men franchise to do Kingsman.
Yeah.
He made a great X-Men movie. And instead of going, oh, I'll build on this, he went, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing. So if I was him, that's what I would do. Because I feel like if any movie can be a Superman movie without Superman, like a proper one, it would be Superior. Because that character encapsulates everything about the character, like the comic book version of Superman. Yeah.
But wouldn't you like to see a good Superman movie?
I'd rather see, but I don't think that you can really.
Ever?
No, I don't think in this universe you can't get that version of Superman. Because he's done too much weird stuff.
That's like, true, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's not a slight against the character. Like, I don't love all the stuff they've done with him. But I'm just saying, just keep, they can just keep doing whatever they're doing with him. You can just do a clean version of Superior from the start. It doesn't have to adhere to any continuity. It's a boy who's sort of got the powers mixed with Shazam or Captain Marvel, whatever you call
it,
and Superman. And
I guess you're right in the sense that as a creator, maybe you'd want to hear you more than, he did a Superman movie, it was fine. You'd want to hear, this guy did Superman better than Superman
does,
kind of thing.
That's
have you read Have you read Alan Moore's run on the comic book Supreme? Have you ever read
that? No, but you're a big old fan.
I won't stop talking about it.
Is that unfinished?
No, that's Miracle Man. That's
okay,
unfinished.
Right.
But this is basically...
is that the one he took from Rob Liefeld and said,
Rob Liefeld's,
I'm going to change everything about this?
Yeah, Rob Liefeld's 90s creation Supreme, which was like Superman, but more extreme for the 90s.
Right.
Many years later, he offered it to Alan Moore and said, do you want to do a run on this? And Alan Moore said, I'll do it, but I'm throwing away literally everything about this character, except kind of how he looks, and then I'm just going to reboot it again. And it was essentially this extended love letter to the concept of Superman.
Right, right.
Real good.
Real primo.
Primo.
Good work.
Primo content from Alan Moore.
Yeah.
The king of content.
The king of content.
I feel if he heard me say that he was the king of content, He'd strangle me to death.
He'd set some kind of mythical dragon onto
probably
you.
Probably from his cave.
Yeah, that's it. The other news is that Ben Affleck has revealed that he's been dealing with alcohol addiction and he's just completed a stint in rehab.
Jeez.
Batman is being pushed back, maybe not as a direct result of this, but it's the rumor is that Matt Reeves is pushing for a complete rewrite.
I've heard that.
Maybe not him, but also people over at DC. And it's not necessarily linked to this.
Uh-huh.
And as a result of this, they're looking for something to fill that void. So if
alcohol.
Yes, but it always helps, doesn't it?
Yep, that's right.
So, I mean, that's obviously no good for Ben Affleck. He went through a pretty public kind of separation.
Yep.
I'm not sure what the situation is there yet. He hasn't clearly been happy with the stuff he's been involved in with DC.
People won't shut up about the Batman
trying
to promote literally anything
exactly.
else.
Exactly. Like, yeah, that's exactly it. So I can understand he'd obviously be
he's
burnt
out. He's punching darts like a madman.
Absolutely.
Just smoking durries outside any venue you care to imagine.
Yeah. And I think this also kind of lends to the whole, I wouldn't be surprised if he just clean left.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Then we get a reboot probably.
Maybe.
Or Army Hammer.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a tweet about that later, which we can talk about. But because that's being pushed back, the story is that Warner Brothers are looking to fast track something else and start filming this year. And these are your five options, Mason.
I'm ready.
You can pick one.
Ambush Bug.
That's not an option.
Okay,
no.
Fine.
Fine. Six options. Ambush Bug.
Nice. The Captain Carrot and his amazing zoo crew.
Seven options.
Thank you.
The Flash.
Yep.
Gotham City Sirens.
Yep.
Which will be directed by David Ayer, who did Suicide Squad. And the screenwriter is Adam Kozid, who did Tarzan and Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that one.
No.
Because Jack Ryan is irrelevant, I want to say.
In many ways. He's eternal.
Yeah.
Because he's been so many actors and in so many movies.
And a TV show now, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
But who cares?
I think Jim from The Office is going to be the new Jack Ryan.
Wow, really?
That might be wrong.
I'd watch that.
Sure, yeah.
I wouldn't.
Watch it?
Yeah.
That might be wrong. Don't quote me on that. What do we have? We had Alec Baldwin. We had Harrison Ford did two. We had Ben Affleck. Oh. And then we had The Sum of All Fears. That was
And then Chris Pine?
Chris Pine did one.
Okay. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Name a characteristic of what's his name? I forgot Jack his name. Ryan. I literally forgot his name. As
Jack Ryan.
Yeah, name a characteristic of Jack Ryan.
Is it ex-military?
That's not a characteristic.
Is he even ex-military?
I don't know.
Is he present-day military?
I think he's like the president's assistant or something.
Right. It's like any of those guys like Jack Reacher and whatever. Yeah. They're all kind of like...
But is he an angry man? Is he stoic? Is he a family man? Is he a lone wolf? We don't know. He's been in so many movies.
And books.
But there's no through line, you know?
Everybody, if next time you're at your parents' house or if you live with your parents, go to your dad's bookshelf and count how many Jack Ryan books there are on there.
Yep.
There's at least five. Mm. Green Lantern Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, sorry.
I was going to leave you some editing room.
Which the story was this week that David...
What if it was Green Lantern Corps?
Yeah.
It's just various Green Lanterns floating through the depths of space. It's just an effects reel of how many Green Lanterns have died. That'd be fun.
I'd watch that.
Me too.
Yeah. David Goyer might direct that. That was a story this week. Who co-wrote a lot of the Dark Knight stuff.
Yep.
Did Blade Trinity.
But he's done a lot of bad stuff. Isn't he's he the done... guy that's just dodged a lot of bullets?
Yeah, he has. Yeah. Mm. It's. I don't know, for the stuff he's done, I don't know what the good or bad parts he's associated with for a lot of it. Blade Trinity's not his fault because Wesley Snipes is insane.
Sure.
So I don't know how that movie was supposed to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Suicide Squad 2 and Dark Universe. So out of those seven options, two of which aren't real... Which do you want to pick? Do you want to pick one?
Is Dark Universe the not real one?
No, the two that you said are not real.
Oh! Well, that's a twist.
Zoo Crew and... What's the other one?
Ambush Bug.
Ambush Bug.
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
What's Dark Universe?
The Justice League Dark.
Dark one.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah, maybe that one.
Okay. Yeah, I think you got to go with a weirder one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing Green Lantern Corps.
Mm. Maybe one set in space, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like clean everybody's palate a little bit. And we can just be like, don't worry. And in the meantime, they could clean up the Earth-based shenanigans.
Yeah, sure.
And clean house a little bit.
We do three movies in space and come back and then everything's fixed and there's a new Batman.
There you go. Exactly, yeah.
So much. You miss so much. Oh, well, let's just press on, shall we? So, yeah, no, fair enough. And I think also with Dark Universe, you could set that in dimensions and realms and whatever.
Yeah, right.
Not like space, but in a way, spaces between space.
Yeah.
I'm giving you the gun fingers.
You sure are. There were regular points and then you added the hammers on the back. Yeah,
I did. Okay, so also last bit of DC news. Aquaman has been pushed to December of 2018. That's just back a few months.
Mm-hmm.
I think this comes off the back of... There's going to be no Star Wars movie that month.
Yep.
And also, because of that, the Sony Venom movie is now taking the spot of October 5th, which was Aquaman's old spot.
Uh-huh.
Good news all round, I guess.
Yep, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Do we know anything about the Sony Venom movie?
The last bit of news was that it might not be connected to the Spider-Man Homecoming universe.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Why would you not? We don't know what version of Venom it is.
That's true.
There was rumors of a director this week, the guy who wrote, I can't remember who the director was, but that wasn't true. Whoever that was, that's not true.
Oh, great. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so that's pretty much it. We don't know whether they're going Flash Thompson or Eddie Brock or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
Mm.
More news, Mason?
I kind of feel like this is going to have the most limited, this is going to have a very vague connection to
all the
anything Spider-Man. I reckon it might be like a, you know, like the Ultimate Spider-Man Venom, where it was like a cure for cancer and what kind of one, or like it's been a built kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe he'll have the teeth for the last act or something like
sure,
that.
Sure, yeah.
And okay. the rest is just going to be a... I reckon it's probably going to be kind of Agent Venom style.
Yes.
It's just going to be more a battle suit than it is a...
Right, like Spawn.
Like Spawn, exactly. Yeah. I think when's that reboot
happening?
I think happening?
There was some news this week that I skimmed over. Todd McFarlane said something like, it's so extreme, people are going to love it.
Am I still making money? Who knows?
I bet he is,
a
lot
yeah.
of pewter statuettes
exactly,
of Spawn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to see a Spawn movie?
If you ever break one of... Cause they'd have like chains coming off the side, cast chains. If you break one, you have to send it back to be fixed, and it's like $200.
That's it, yeah. Ah, oh, man. What a world we live in.
What a world.
But you want to hear about Worlds, Mason?
Yes.
Something that we've talked about, I think, for years, and it's finally happening.
Ooh.
The Matrix is getting a reboot.
Of sorts.
That was the initial report.
Yeah. And I think people have said reboot just because it's The Matrix.
Yes.
Man,
that's
the most appropriate thing to say.
Are you surprised by this in any sense?
No.
Yeah.
It seems very soon. I mean,
2003 was the last one?
Yeah, I know, still. It just feels very
soon.
That's
because Keanu Reeves hasn't aged.
It's because he hasn't aged because people keep talking about The Matrix.
Yeah, that's probably true, mm-hmm. yeah. What was it? When was the first one? 99. So by the time then, let's say it gets into production as soon as possible, uh-huh. as soon as it'll be out, it was 2019, 2020. So it'll be 20 years since the best one.
Right.
And the only one in a lot of people's eyes. Mm-hmm. There's some good Animatrix stuff, though.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, for The Matrix, and... They've talked now that the story is that it's not going to be a reboot. What you don't need to reboot it because the world is so vast and goes in so many different directions and so many characters, and there's so many aspects of that universe which remain unexplored.
Yes.
Like how they casually mentioned that there's werewolves and vampires and then never do anything with that.
Sure, right.
You know, and that's just one example of the kind of... Mm-hmm. Though didn't you say one of those twins might be a werewolf or
no,
something?
No, the twins are ghosts.
Right.
And the guys that Neo fights in that weird... stairway situation.
Right, yeah,
they're vampires and werewolf, but they don't exhibit any of the powers.
Nah.
But they're meant to be vampires and werewolves because they're
disagree.
All right, fine. All right, whatever. But yeah,
I'm not saying that wasn't their intention,
right.
But disagree.
But I feel a reboot would be a mistake.
Absolutely, it would. And the thing is, as well, you can set it in any point in time. You could set it 20 years after the last.
That's what I'm
like
hoping
Neo's
for.
Still in the source of the Matrix and he comes out. He doesn't even have to be in it at all,
correct,
really.
Yeah.
But the story goes that they want to bring in Michael B. Jordan and they're going to do a young Morpheus movie, which I don't think is probably the best direction to take this. I just think why go back? Because you know where his story kind of leads.
That's true, yeah.
And it'll be about him getting out of the Matrix and whatever and then...
Yeah.
Like assimilating with Zion and all that, but we saw that with Neo.
Exactly.
I know he's not the same as Neo because he's not the same level of power,
uh-huh.
but what story are you telling there?
Exactly. You know? And also, it'd be difficult to, because we know what The Matrix is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was the leading up to The Matrix, we didn't, even going into the cinema, we didn't know what it was.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
And, you know. But now it's a trope. It's like we're all in a machine reality and blah blah blah.
Exactly, yeah.
So we can't be surprised again. If they reboot it, then we can't be surprised because we know what The Matrix is.
Right, exactly.
And if it's a prequel, we know where exactly what you said. We know where Morpheus' story goes. What can we do except give him a love interest that dies?
Right, yeah.
Or you know we can't.
He
meets Little Tank. Exactly. You can't give him any supporting characters that aren't going to live to the next movies and be surprised when they all die kind of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I don't know. It's got to be a sequel, in my humble opinion.
I happen to agree with you, Mason, because mm-hmm. that is also my opinion. Here's a question, though. Do you set it in the peak of society, the year 1999?
Yeah, okay.
Which, since we're past that year, mm-hmm. everyone knows the peak of society was 2003. But do you... So it was a great year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't really remember. Fever for the Flavor, was that year?
I don't know. The band Hot Action Cop, maybe. Wow, that's a blast from the past.
Boy,
what happened there? Did you have a seizure?
I did have a seizure,
come up with
a
weird band from the early 2000s? Amazing.
But what was I going to say? Yeah, I'd like to see it, like they recreate 99. So The Matrix is always 1999.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah, okay.
Because... why would they then go, oh no, the peak of society was 2017? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think you use the old technology, use the phone booths, the flip-down phones, which you used to have. You had that exact phone.
I didn't have the exact one.
You had the exact phone. You told everybody it was the exact phone, Mason.
It was full of lies.
You had it on a little gun holster, didn't you?
Yeah, probably.
I don't think you did.
All right.
Yeah. You nerd. Yeah, you big old nerd.
Yeah, it was pretty
was
good.
Was it a good phone?
Yeah. Mm. You could browse the web in the most limited way possible. You could get some emails.
No, you could. Sure.
You could get emails.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How much did that cost you?
I'm still paying it off. And yet I could just smash this iPhone on this table, get a new one tomorrow for nothing. How's that work?
But, what do you think, though? Do you set it in 99?
I think you have to.
Yeah.
Because otherwise the machines have built a realistic timeline of the universe.
Right,
and they've assembled... Like, I think maybe the version of the Matrix is what they think all of, like... I don't know. Is that what they think all of society was at that point?
Potentially. I don't know. And the other thing is, if you did set it in another year, would it be like, oh, they're just trying out a different year to see if the results are different for the participants of the Matrix?
Oh, yeah, okay.
If you can tweet and vlog, does that make you happier than being in 99 where you can only listen to Blink-182 and Hot Action Cop? Right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so, man. Yeah, I don't know. I just think it would be cool to the kind of way that, you know, they've been able to recreate the aesthetic of Star Wars for Rogue One.
Uh-huh.
Why not just try a similar
thing? You know what? I think they'd have to put it in the modern day. I know maybe it doesn't make any sense that they move the timeline along.
In the fictional
reality,
universe.
Yeah. But also I think it'd just look really dated.
Right.
I think if you bring it back to 1999, and I don't know what other... I don't know.
Because it's also not really 99. Like, the cars are different.
Yes,
the technology
they're kind of weird 1940s car, yeah.
Anyway, whatever. Mm.
Also, I think, and I've mentioned this before, I would like to see them... They have to... If you want to escape from the Matrix, you have to do a funny Snapchat. You know what I mean? You have to put a dog filter on and draw some funny lines and a little caption. Be like... And put up the little banner. It's like, escaping from the Matrix, lol. And then you send it out and like a certain number of people have to read it and then you escape from the Matrix. I think that'd be good.
So in
and
a way...
The truck's coming at you and you're like, oh, God.
So in a way, it's easier than finding a phone booth.
Yeah.
But you're also relying on people enjoying
your output. Yeah, it's exponentially more difficult also, yes.
That's amazing. Mm. What else we got? Mindhorn. Yeah, we talked about that. I got that in here.
Mm-hmm.
Last bit of news.
You have to. If you get unverified on Twitter, you can't escape from being trapped in there forever.
Future Star Wars movies won't focus on legacy characters, Gary Witter says, who co-wrote Rogue One, I believe, and probably other things.
Oh, yeah.
So we're not going to be getting, like, I guess, the Darth Vader movie, Anakin Skywalker prequel. Well, we had those.
Yeah, we sure did.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
What do you think of that?
So he's cutting it off after Han Solo.
I guess.
Huh.
I mean, I think we'll get an Obi-Wan movie. I still think that'll happen.
Witter just said we won't.
Fuck Witter!
Whoa!
I'll say to his face, is Obi-Wan a legacy character? I guess he is, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
I mean, if you took it only the original trilogy, not so much, but yeah. I don't know. I don't necessarily believe that, but I do.
Yeah.
I do. I feel like we're going to get another, if this Han Solo one does well.
Exactly.
We're going to get another one.
I was just thinking that he's saying this now.
Yeah.
But that, I think, is maybe just to stop rampant speculation and endless tweets to people of like, hey, you're gonna do a prequel? You're gonna do that. So they're putting their foot down until they see how much this Han Solo movie makes, and then it's, hey, it's back on, guys. We were just kidding.
Then it's guns, blasters blazing.
Blasters
Mason.
Blazing.
You better believe it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nyx, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
All right, we got to talk about Iron Fist.
Oh, let's talk about Iron
what
Fist.
What a bloody debacle this whole thing has been.
Oh, yes.
I got some thoughts, though. I'm sure you have some thoughts.
I've got thoughts, too.
Just want to point out, last week we were sponsored. This week is not sponsored by Iron Fist.
So we can say whatever we want.
But
I mean, last week was a... They asked us to do a primer on Iron Fist.
Yeah.
So
we recorded that before. Oh, no. That was... We edited that in.
Yes, we did,
before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't actually... That's why the episode was long, because we did like a 40-minute bit, like... Prior to, anyway, it's not important.
It's not important.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's how the sausage is made, people.
That's right. Because they needed to hear it in case we said, like, I don't know.
Iron Fist is racist. I think everybody should be fired.
But our competition, though, is still going.
Still going.
So the hashtag is Iron Fist with four eyes.
Not together.
Not together, as in one at the start, three with the second eye.
Three in fist.
If you search for that on Twitter... People have done a whole lot of different things. You
yes,
can take a photo, make a joke, a tweet. People have been lighting their hands on fire.
Look, we want to find the official Iron Fist of the podcast for reals, and we've had some great ones. Benjamin Philby, he drew a 2-page comic book.
Oh, that was amazing!
Of the Finn Jones Iron Fist, like a comic book of him battling ninjas while also being haunted by that time Iron Fist met that weird Doctor Who knockoff.
Right,
the comic
yeah.
books in the 70s.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
pretty great. That's a solid one. What else do we have here? Randy Nerd _ Harmony on Twitter set his hand on fire while dressed as Iron Fist.
Can I just point out, because I'm also doing a thing on...
Also, please don't set yourselves on fire.
That's what I was going to say. I'm doing the same competition as well on my YouTube channel. Same hashtag and everything. So I'm giving one away there. Because we're giving away season one of Daredevil on Blu-ray and one here. If you've lit your hands on fire already,
we can't stop.
Good job.
That. Yep, we can't unring that bell.
Nobody's been hurt, but that being said, I think we should make it from now on. If you light your hands on fire, you cannot win. Do you think that's reasonable?
Okay, but
you are
guys,
not disqualified. I'm saying if you've already done it,
you've been grandfathered in.
But inevitably, somebody's going to hurt themselves. Is what
yes.
I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're not guaranteeing you win if you do that.
No, certainly not.
let's see. What else do we have here? Enter the question on Twitter has made a little Calvin and Iron Fist comic book.
Oh, that was good. I like that.
Which is pretty great. Yeah. Those are all my Twitter at Wikipedia Brown if you want to check. I've retweeted. I should retweet some more.
Oh,
I'll do that.
Yeah, check them out.
Pretty good.
So, yeah. So, we'll announce that next week.
Nick S has done a little
oh, I like that one.
Computer generated pick.
I'm being punched there.
You're being punched by Iron Fist. It looks great.
It does look great. Yeah, I like that one a lot.
Yeah,
nice. So yeah, but it doesn't. It can be a little thing. It can be a. You don't have to like craft some amazing.
No, exactly.
Piece of
yeah.
art. Maybe it would help Mason. Who knows? Are you picking the winner for this? And I'll pick the one on the YouTube channel. I guess.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, let's do it like that. Anyway, so. What
we're saying is back last week,
yeah.
They asked us to do that. They sponsored us yeah. to do that.
Mm.
But this week, there's no sponsorship.
Yeah.
We can say what we think.
Mm. The thing is, though, I only started watching it when everybody else did.
Yep.
They didn't send it. The one thing we got, it didn't actually come through Netflix. It came through an Australian marketing company who found us. And the one thing that they said to us.
They didn't send us episodes of the show to review.
They sent us a 2 gig file.
And we're like, what's in this file? Is it gonna be concept art? Is it gonna be audio? Is it gonna be interviews? What's it gonna be?
I had to download a special program to open it and it was a picture. It was picture.
It was a bus ad.
Yeah. And it was
the one if you've been in a bus shelter recently and you've seen the Iron Fist and it's Finn Jones and it's a big poster. It's that.
Yeah.
Those are 2 gig, those files, apparently.
Yeah, that's it. And it wasn't even super high res either. No. You zoomed in, it was very pixely.
Just a series of fonts.
Yeah, so
they gave us all the fonts.
That was our primer for Iron Fist. Mm-hmm. But we've seen it now, or you've seen...
I've seen nine episodes of it.
Yeah. So we won't go into spoiler territory too much, do you want to say? Because I'd say most people, by the time this comes out, won't have seen all
correct,
of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Only madmen who make Easter egg videos. Linked below, Mason.
It's oh, I get
good.
It.
There's a whole
I
lot going
it.
On
I
in
get
there.
It.
But yeah, do you think it is the train wreck that critics were saying before this came out who got the first six?
No, look, I think it improves.
Yeah.
Significantly. I think the first maybe 4 or 5 episodes are a mess.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. A lot of these Netflix series is they save those for like the back end. These kind of get them out of the way up top.
Which, if you've never seen a Marvel series. Like these are for the fans. These are for this feels especially like this is if you've seen the previous three.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to watch this and we're gonna make you slog through some stuff. Because they're weirdly paced. It's like it's a 13-hour movie.
Yeah.
Where there's some dead space up at the front. There's some setup at the front.
And I would say there's also some dead space at the end.
Great.
Yeah. But that in between stuff, there's some. It's
some
okay.
Of it's pretty good. Some of it's pretty good, yeah, right? Yeah.
I don't think it's any. I don't think it's. I didn't love Luke Cage, but I think they're on par in a lot of ways for different reasons. Luke Cage, I think, handled like social issues better. I think Luke Cage was better cast.
Yeah. But this one has decided to not mention any. Like I feel that they had two options here, and we'll get into it in a second. But
yeah,
these guys have decided we're just not going to bring up any of the issues that people have raised around this, we're just not going to say anything.
Right, yeah, yeah. And I think also, what was I going to say? Oh, they do kind of deal with the issues of like, if you're a billionaire, you've got a responsibility.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that.
Oh, yeah.
But other than that, not so much. But I think the story, though, here is stronger than Luke Cage.
Oh, no.
Because Luke Cage did a lot of meandering in terms of like, crime bosses would be like, what are we going to do about this bulletproof fella? And then he'd like walk into a club and be like, stop selling drugs! And that would happen like 6 or 7
yes.
times.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But still, yeah. Look, okay. What did you think the story was?
Oh, no. You mentioned the story and you had a minute and then you distracted me with that other thing you said. Okay, so hang on. It's New York City and Danny Rand's been gone for 15 years and now he's back and he's got kung fu powers.
Yes.
Pretty good.
Boy, does he.
Yeah.
In a big way. Okay. Casting controversy.
Yes.
A lot of the criticisms, you read any of the earlier reviews, and one of the first things is always, why is Danny Rand not an Asian man?
Yeah. Asian American, maybe Chinese or Korean or something like that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Why is he a blonde, blue-eyed fellow
yes.
teaching kung fu to kids or whatever he's doing?
No, I mean, the technical reason in the 70s apparently was because Marvel already had an Asian American kung fu guy,
yeah.
Shang-Chi, the master of kung fu.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, okay, well, let's, because kids have like limited spending money and they have to convince their parents they're not just buying the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
They have to make a character that looks significantly different from the other guy. So they can be like, no, it's two, there's two guys.
Two guys.
So
yeah.
They were like, okay, well, what's the opposite? We'll have a blonde-haired white guy.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
The opposite of an Asian person is a white person.
Precisely, yeah.
If you turn a mirror upside down, so that's what you get.
That was apparently the rationale at the time. Right, they're okay, just like, sure. Well, we'll make them different so kids will spend twice the amount of money.
Perfect.
Which was much more noble. You know what I mean?
Do you think, though, that they should have cast him as Asian, or do you think it's really not a big deal?
I don't think we're qualified to answer that.
Sure. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, but I don't think it's that much of a big deal. I don't think it's particularly well cast in general, but I don't think that is the biggest problem with this show.
No.
if I'm honest.
Yeah. There was two ways they could have gone about this, and one of them was maybe bring it up in the show.
Right, yeah.
But I guess you'd have to write a very fine line between being serious about it and making light of it.
Yeah.
And I reckon if they'd spoken about it, it would have had to gone too far in the way of like making fun of it and going, who cares? This isn't important. And I think people would have perceived it as, you think it isn't important. So
yeah.
I think they've gone the route of just don't say anything.
Don't say anything.
Like, I think they could have done, you know, some running gags. There's a point in it where he beats up a whole bunch of gang members and they go back to their boss and he follows them to the secret hideout and the guy's like, this guy beat you.
Yeah.
And there's no moment where he's like, this white guy.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Seriously, this white guy kind
of
thing.
Yeah. So there was an opportunity. There were opportunities to address it, but they chose to disagree.
And there are opportunities where.
That's true. There is some interesting storytelling to be done there.
If we can talk about Finn Jones, I think he's very likable in this role.
Yeah.
Except when he is getting zen.
Right.
Getting zen and righteous.
Yeah.
And I don't know, some other stuff.
But I don't know whether, because I
he's like, focus your chi, and she'd be, there's no moment where she's like, people seem to just roll with this, people seem to roll with his madness.
Right,
like,
yeah.
He's like, no, you need to focus your chi, and nobody goes,
specifically?
Do you mean is that a metaphor?
Yeah.
Because we don't, and he's like, he should be like, no, really.
We don't have the magical glowing hands, so we don't know what that is.
But he also goes in there and he's like, you know, he'll go to the
kung fu or the karate place.
Yeah, he'll go to the karate academy and he'll be like, your punches and kicks are weak. You're like punching through a lace curtain or whatever.
Yeah, you
like,
guys don't take karate seriously or whatever. Just,
it seemed a bit preachy.
I don't know whether that way he was written that way because he's, I think of all the defenders, he's probably the worst cast. And that's not because he's white. That's just because maybe not the worst cast, but maybe just a weird portrayal because he's not incredibly likable. He's kind of an idiot. Like, the first three episodes are him going, no, I am Danny Rand, believe me.
They're
like, say specific things that prove that you're Danny Rand. Don't just say, oh no, I've been gone, but now I'm back. What can you tell them yourself? You dummy.
Yeah, so he shows up, he's been in Kunlun.
Mm.
Side note, I've apparently been mispronouncing a lot of these things.
Kunlun?
Yeah, I've been saying Kunlun, but it's apparently Kunlun. Anyway, so he shows up in New York after 15 years, and his naivete, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, is charming for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I'm like,
it's four episodes.
Then it's four. Then it's, so, there. So yeah, so with Luke Cage, and we mentioned it earlier, there's some space filling.
Yeah.
There were a number of scenes in Luke Cage where Luke Cage goes into a bar or a nightclub and all the bad guys are there and he's got bulletproof skin and super strength and he could have just beaten them all up, knocked them all out, gathered some evidence that's in the nightclub, called the police, and it would have all been done.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do it, not because he couldn't do it, but because they needed more episodes.
Right. Like,
they needed to fill more time. And so for whatever reason, instead of writing that so he couldn't have done it, he just goes, well, I'll see you later, and then he leaves. And that felt quite apparent in this, especially in the first few episodes, where what he could have done very easily is just shown that he can do the Iron Fist, and everybody would have believed him. But for whatever reason, like they had to keep contriving reasons why he couldn't. It felt to me like, you remember that Singing Frog, Warner Brothers cartoon, where the man finds a frog that can sing, and he thinks it's going to make him rich and famous, but it only sings in front of him, so everybody thinks he's lying or crazy.
Yeah.
So in this, he's like, Danny Rand's like, yeah, I can do the Iron Fist and I can punch through anything. And somebody's like, oh, can you show me? And he's like, no, I've been drugged, so I can't. Oh, cool, what about now? No, I'm tired and I can't focus my chi. What about now? No, I did it earlier. I did it heaps just earlier and I can't do it now. Like, they kept, just do it and it'd be
just
fine.
Just do it, yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. I feel like there's like, and he finally does it. He tells very specific stories,
yes,
which is what you would do to prove to somebody that you know them. Also, yeah, there's things that he's forgotten. Like a guy's like, check this out. Check out the internet. You could look up anything on the internet. He left in 2002.
Yeah.
He probably knows what the fucking internet is. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's baffling to me. That being said,
yes,
episode 5, and I don't even remember the exact point, but it gets a lot better.
Right, okay.
And I don't even know if you can skip the first 4. To get there? You probably could.
Yeah, maybe.
Look,
let me think.
He gets out of hospital and then he does some kung fu.
That's right.
Yeah, so
hey, let me think.
People don't believe him.
I feel is the meanest New York we've seen in Netflix's Marvel. Like, it's not the most crime ridden. That's Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
But this is, everybody's mean. Like, there's a hot dog vendor sees a man covered in stab wounds and blood, vomiting up black bile, and he's like, get out of my face, you're an idiot, get out of here. Like, if you walk into traffic, somebody will just try and run you over.
Yeah, that's right.
And you've got
to
awkwardly flip over the top of them.
Yeah.
Nobody believes you. Everybody's ready to mace you in the face.
That's true. Well, she had a reason for doing that.
But, I mean, if Danny Rand had showed up in Luke Cage's Harlem, they would have given him a hot meal and a place to stay and a haircut. True, yeah.
Well, you know, Harlem's, isn't it a nicer place these days?
Seems nice.
That's
seems
what they say.
Nice.
Yeah, but look, yeah, very kind of inconsistent. But I don't know whether it's, I think it might also be written that way where you're not supposed to really like him that much. Because there is a kind of charming naivety to him, or naivete,
I don't know,
as you would say. But I'm not sure you're supposed to kind of side with him the entire time. The same way with Daredevil, like, I don't always think that the things that he does is the right thing that he should do.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of the character, and he makes mistakes. And whatever. And same with Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. So I think maybe that's also what they were trying to go for.
Yeah.
That he is naive and he doesn't know what he's doing.
But that's the thing. Like, the idea being that he's naive because he's returned to New York and it's changed, but also he's been in a world where they just shave his head and beat him with sticks. Like, he's not, but he's coming to the West like, oh, I'm going to come back to New York and everybody's nice in New York and everybody's great. And then he's sort of beaten down by New York. But like, he's been trained to be this ultimate warrior. And surely they teach you like strategy and subterfuge and like,
chi. It's all chi.
Just chi. Because he shows up in this world and they're like, where have you been? And he's like, I've been in a mystical, magical city where I've learned kung fu from magic monks. Oh, you're taking me to a mental institution?
Why?
Just say you've been in Tibet.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
You hit your head in Tibet and you were not feeling well and they nursed you back to health and you learned some kung fu in Tibet.
That's that padding though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You gotta stretch
just be,
it out.
He shows up. And he's like the first scene when he goes to Rand Enterprises that we see in the trailer, where he shows up and he's like, hey, I'm here to get my company back. Because, you know, maybe as a kid he didn't learn that you can't just get your company back.
Yeah.
So that's fine. And then they chuck him out and then he's like, well, I guess I'll just sneak up on my childhood friends. I'll just break into their houses or whatever. And then he's like, hey, you've still got a cute dog. And she's like, what are you doing in my house? Like, you're not... How did he think this was going to work? That being said, I did really like the opening sequence. And I feel the kung fu was a bit hit or miss, but I did like the opening sequence where he shows up and the guards show up to escort him out and he just knocks them back like
they're
nothing.
Yeah, he kind of swats them away. Yeah, I didn't mind that either. You're right, though. It is very hit and miss.
Because I felt going into this that he should be the best kung fu guy in the world.
Like, noticeably better than Daredevil.
Yeah.
But he doesn't seem like he is.
He doesn't seem that much better than Daredevil.
I feel like, aside from the Iron Fist, Daredevil could potentially beat this guy up.
Yeah. Luke Cage could potentially beat him up.
Yeah.
Because
Jessica Jones certainly could.
Yeah.
She's got...
They could all beat him up. Everybody on this team could beat him up.
I mean, but also his levels of ability kind of fluctuate depending on his chi and whatnot.
Depending on his chi.
Anyway, we'll talk...
His chi... The Iron Fist is his girlfriend that lives in Canada. She's in Canada. Oh yeah, show us a photo. She doesn't like getting photographed. Shut up.
What about the other casting? What about Colleen Wing?
I think she's great.
Yeah, she was good. Yeah.
I think
the casting will... see, that's the thing. I don't know whether she's... I don't think she's necessarily better than like Rosario Dawson or any of the other kind of supporting characters.
Speaking of which, give her her own show.
Yes, right, yeah.
Give Claire Temple her own...
Is it getting a bit contrived that she's running into these people?
This one definitely was. Yeah. Because she's like, oh, it's my destiny to run into these people, I guess.
It's weird that none of them have met each other yet. Oh, no, that's not true. Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. But it's weird that nobody's ran into Daredevil. Do you know what I mean? Because he's around quite a bit. It's getting to that point where it's a good thing these people are all coming together because it's... They're all doing... They're moving in very similar circles.
They're all fighting.
They all know the same people.
I haven't finished this season yet.
Yeah.
But there's no... I felt this would be an excellent time to have Daredevil pop in for a cameo. But there isn't anything.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There's not much of many cameos all around.
There's no Foggy Nelson. I thought maybe you'd be like, well, they're not letting me in here, so I'll get a pro bono lawyer. Yeah. It's Foggy Nelson doing some incredible acting.
He's back.
He's doing some intense acting.
What about the Meachums? Harold, Joy, Ward, there aren't?
They're pretty good. You know what?
David Lennon.
I think Ward and Joy have a good chemistry.
Yeah,
they
agree,
do
yeah.
feel like siblings.
Initially,
I don't know if that's in the writing or if that's in the...
Initially, I was like, why is David Lennon the same age as his son? But they explain that away. Because there's... I guess we can't really spoil that, can we?
Look, we'll spoil a little bit towards
yeah,
the end.
Yeah, sure. Look, if you haven't seen it, maybe don't listen to this at all, if you don't want to know. But no, I think the casting was mostly fine, but I think Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Daredevil have better casting in general, I would probably say. Maybe it's just the lead that's kind of lacking in this. And I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily him. I think a lot of it is he's just not that...
He's written all,
yeah.
as all over the place,
yeah,
I
that's,
feel.
Yeah, inconsistent.
He's
yeah.
inconsistent. He's spouting. But that's the thing. Like, he's also... I would have liked for him to be like, you know, oh, the way of the crane is the blah, 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 and the wind, the reed and the winds or whatever. And somebody would be like, do you know what that means or are you just saying it?
Right.
Cause like legitimately in the thing, because, like, he seems like... Because he's a guy who seems to be filled with confusion and rage and...
But he's also teaching?
But he's also teaching and also like, and, but he's also filled with good vibes, but he's also, and I would have appreciated maybe a scene where people are like, you've just learned these phrases from you, but do you actually know what they mean?
They literally beat them into you.
Yeah. So maybe you should look into yourself and see if they work for you and, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, and I don't think you would have liked this element of it. There's very little mysticism. Outside of he can have one hand that glows and they allude to a dragon and a mystical city that you never really see. What are you doing?
First of all, that fist should make a noise of some kind, I feel.
Like a vroom.
Yes. Like a lawnmower starting up. Secondly, yeah, he's...
What about a... as it's starting
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that'd be really good, yeah. That'd be so good. Just a guy clearing his nose. But yeah, it's interesting that he has a series of flashbacks to his previous life.
Bad flashback effect, by the way.
Yeah, look, it's weird that, like, for anybody who didn't listen to the Luke Cage primer, the Iron Fist primer last week,
yeah.
or if you don't know much about Iron Fist has his Iron Fist powers because he plunged his hands into the molten heart of Shao Lao the Undying, who is literally a dragon.
Yeah, or is it?
And yet... There's no flashback to that. If that happened to me...
It's all you would think
that's
about.
That's all I would flashback to. In fact, that's the only memory I would have. Like, somebody would come up to me and be like, oh, hey, man, you didn't come to my birthday drinks. And I'd be like, yeah, I forgot. Because that time I punched a dragon's heart. And they'd be like, oh, that's fair. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it makes total
but
then, sense.
But he's having flashbacks to... The time he was on a mountain and he saw a hawk.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I understand there's budgetary limitations.
Yeah.
But again, you could write around that. I think it would have been funny to maybe like a running gag because there weren't that many. This wasn't super funny. But I think it'd be nice to have a running gag where he keeps he's just about to have a flashback to the time he fought a dragon and we see that light effect.
Yeah.
And then like some mean New Yorker's like, hey, idiot.
Like he gets
snap back into
he's
it.
At a bus stop and he gets splashed
yes,
by a
exactly,
bus
yeah.
car or whatever.
Hey, step out of it, idiot. And so we never see it. I think that
I'm walking here.
But there's no reason why we couldn't see it and
yeah.
we don't.
I mean, budgetary, obviously.
Yeah,
yeah. But I think that was one of the strengths of Doctor Strange was that we did see all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that I was a little bit disappointed that we got It's again, it's New York, it's corridors, it's alleyways. Mm. There's nothing here that we saw that we haven't seen in previous TV shows. And I think that's also
films.
And that's also a thing that I think people probably had a problem with this series as well, because it's not head and shoulders above the other Netflix series. It's about the same as the okay ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
The kung fu in this should have been crazy.
Well, do you know why it's not?
Why is it not?
Because Finn Jones saying in it, that guy's he's getting really kicked.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Poor bloke. But a lot of those he learnt like 15 minutes before.
Right. Well, yeah. Then he's done a very good job.
Yeah, well, absolutely, yeah. So I don't even think he's really got the build for it. Like, he's quite thin for a guy who's supposed to be that strong.
That's true. You want him to be Bruce Lee.
Well, look at like Daredevil. Daredevil's like crazy ripped. But yeah, I guess also because he's got chi, that's also his strength.
Yeah, he doesn't,
well,
need the muscles because he's got chi.
Yeah. Mm. I'm not saying he's not like weirdly anorexic, but I'm just saying, shouldn't he be at least as big as Daredevil?
Maybe he's lithe.
He's quite lithe,
he's
isn't
lithe,
he?
But he should be sinewy.
But there's wildly inconsistent, and I think that part of it might be it's harder to hide a stuntman because he doesn't wear a mask.
Sometimes he flips. Sometimes they flip a hood
up the hood or whatever, or he'll put on a mask in the street for no reason. Yeah. How did he think they wouldn't recognize him? You're barefoot. You remember?
And you smell.
And you smell. Yeah, that's actually pointed out, isn't it?
Yeah.
That he smells. Mm. But like, I think with Daredevil, you can throw even the black mask on a stuntman and
that's true, yeah.
But like, you cannot really show him front on. Because
Let's talk about the kung fu. Do you have talk about the kung fu written there?
I've got fight sequences, question mark.
Oh, yeah, great. Okay.
I think there are some really good stuff. I think episode 6, there's like a tournament that he goes through. I love that episode.
Yeah. I think the hallway hatchet scene is pretty good.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, it's not my favorite sort of narrow fight, like my favorite narrow
Would
field.
Would that be the Punisher one, maybe? Is it the Luke Cage walks down a corridor
No,
with
I mean
a door?
Just like overall. My favorite is in the Raid 2 where that woman kills a whole bunch of Yakuza guys in a subway car using a pair of hammers.
I have not seen that.
It's pretty good. Yeah. You ever seen a man get killed by a hammer?
I haven't, no.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But given that this isn't supposed to be viscerally disgusting.
Yeah.
Pretty good, I
yeah,
thought.
Yeah, I completely
and
agree.
And yeah, the tournament bit.
Yeah.
I thought that was good, though. You know, there's the scene where he fights the twins, who are one.
Yes.
And I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel kind of like the whole season should have been this.
Like a series of challenges.
No, but he should have no problem fighting two guys at once all the
time.
No,
yeah, you're right.
Like five guys at once, 10 guys at once.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
And that's... Why did they only give him 15 minutes for choreography? That seems crazy.
Yeah.
But then also, he fights the Bride of Nine Spiders.
Yes.
That's pretty good. That's interesting. But then the third fight, just some guy.
Guy with a big old sword. Yeah.
Guy with a sword.
Exactly. Maybe you end with the Bride of Nine Spiders.
And then, but a bit further on, we get he fights...
The Drunken Master.
That's a great fight. Kung Fu.
Yeah.
And that's a great fight. And it's at that point where I went... Oh, all these fights should be like this.
Yeah,
because
everyone's got a different style.
Yeah, he's doing butt bumps and he's tumbling and he's drinking all the while and he's using his booze bottle to fight as well.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's what this should be. It should be
like a Street Fighter tournament. Everybody's weird and got a different.
Everybody's
thing.
Got a weird. One guy's stretchy.
Yeah,
one guy's a green monster who's in his 50s now. Did you know that?
One guy's Raul Julia.
Yeah. But it was just. Everybody's sort of good at the same kind of kung fu.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if I knew more about kung fu, I could be like, oh, that guy's got a slightly different style and that guy's got a slightly different style. But I'm a layman. I want him to be crazy kung fu.
I completely agree. Mm. But I don't think, I think a lot of it is okay.
Mm.
Like, some, you know, a lot of it's really good to kind of whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. What a bloody ride. You know what I did enjoy?
What's that?
This is maybe we should do a little bit of spoilers.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, right. Spoilers.
Well, should we evaluate this? Is it the worst series ever or the best
series
ever?
I think it's consistent with the back end of Daredevil Season 2.
Yep.
Most of Luke Cage and this. They're all kind of the same.
I agree,
on a level for me. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, we are being paid by Marvel, sort of, indirectly.
Sure.
So don't take our word for it. Mm. But I think if you can kind of skip the first four or skim them, maybe do so.
Watch it in the background.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's, I think, a really good way to watch the start of this show. That's what I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just be doing something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, I'm going to see this out.
I'm
not going to be like, nah, give it a miss.
I think it, also from Luke Cage kind of, it wraps up and then it wraps up again. This does a very similar
kind of
thing.
Oh, I see. Okay,
so,
right.
Yeah. It's not really a spoiler. It's just just is what it
okay,
is.
Okay, right, cool.
Okay, spoilers. So, I really like the archive footage of the previous Iron Fists.
I haven't seen that yet.
Never mind then.
Okay then.
Yeah. Anyway,
does he have a gun?
No, he's got two Iron Fists.
What?
And it's from like World War II or something.
Nice. Okay, that's fun. Okay, yeah.
It's great.
So that's Orson Randall. That's the previous
Iron
Fist.
It's not specifically stated, but it must be, presumably. Yeah. But also I think, wouldn't that be interesting, maybe instead of doing the Danny Rand story, to avoid the controversy, but also to not upset people if you recast him as a different race.
Yep.
Maybe they could have done a previous Iron Fist. Because all the previous Iron Fists, I believe, are mostly Asian. Is that right? Is he the first white one? I might be wrong about that. What's Orson Randall? I can't remember.
He's white.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then, okay, bad
and
example.
I don't think we've seen any previous ones. But.
Right. No, I mean, in the comics, right? There's been hundreds of them, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I would imagine
maybe,
mostly
I think
all
maybe
Asian,
in this, do they say it in this series that he's the first white Iron Fist? I don't know. Anyway, whatever. But I think maybe they could have done like a prequel. It's set in a different time. It's still tied into the Defenders and all that. Uh-huh. But you're doing something different. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're
totally.
Not, you're not doing
work,
hallway fights in New York and whatever. Just a thought. What else, Mason? Any spoiler? Is that the only spoiler things to say?
Let me think.
I don't want to go too far ahead. Madame Gao returns.
Madame Gao does return.
She's good, man.
Daredevil season 2.
David Wenham.
I don't know. I think she kind of... I kind of feel like she's saying stock lines.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's I feel that's a dialogue issue with this. And I think as soon as Claire Temple shows up, who speaks like a normal person, I think, and speaks, I feel, consistently with the rest of the series of Netflix Marvel shows,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, everybody's kind of just speaking in cliches in this.
Right,
season.
Yeah, there is a kind of, there's a bit of kind of like, I bet he's going to say this. Mm. And then they say the particular thing.
Do you think Madame Gao's going to be the villain in The Defenders?
One of. But yeah. Also, she kind of alludes to, this might be later, that there's a bigger villain.
Okay, right.
But also, like, all this kind of story threads we've gotten from her, there's no real new information about her in this series that we haven't known.
That's true, we just
know her drug empire is also international.
That's true. Okay. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That was kind of assumed. You know what I mean?
I get you.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think because she did say she spent some time in Kun Lun.
Yes.
And she's very old. So the it is possible she is Crane Mother, who is
yes.
who is
and that one, speculation was like season one as well.
Yeah, so that's so it, she who was the ruler of one of the other seven cities of heaven. So
exactly
how
yeah.
she spent Send a lot of time in Kun Lun, who knows? It's magic.
You can visit.
You can visit with magic.
You can go and have it.
There's a shuttle.
I actually have one more thing. I can't really say it because you haven't seen the last episode, so I don't want to spoil it for you.
Can you allude to it?
We see a little bit of Kun Lun at the end.
Magical.
I think it's Kun Lun. I'm going to call it that. I don't care.
Yeah, nice.
Towards the end. Not really, sort of, but there's like a thing happens and it's like, is that really a twist? Because you kind of know the specific thing about the city, so why is anyone surprised about this? I don't know. I don't want to get into it.
Okay,
we'll
cool.
get into
cool,
it at a different time.
Let's get into it at a different
anyway,
time.
Anyway, I'm Defenders. It'll be nice to see all these characters come together.
Finally.
Oh, it's also 8 episodes.
Yeah, finally.
What a blessing.
Yeah. So, you know what? In the previous, when we've talked about these previous seasons, you've always demanded shorter seasons.
I demand it.
Yeah, and I think in Luke Cage, I'm like, I enjoyed the time, but I definitely felt it, and I do feel it in this one as well.
Yeah.
As well. This should be shorter. Stop filling time with your weird... Just have him... Just get his dental records or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Just... Yeah.
I don't know.
Just any of those things.
Yeah.
Get a weird pot that he made. Get his thumbprint off it.
What he should have done, just taken the night off.
Yep.
And just had a think.
Yeah.
A bit of a think about what he would do. Don't break into anyone's houses. Don't run at anybody in the streets. Talk to a lawyer. Come on.
And he eventually does all of those things. Yeah. He just gets around to it. Mm-hmm. Got some tweets here
from
people.
Big Al. I'm sad he wasn't in more.
Which one's Big Al?
Big Al was the homeless guy in the park.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Fair enough. Who explained the internet and iPhones.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was some great exposition.
Yeah.
This is from Jack Kemper. Got some tweets here.
I'm ready.
Really enjoying Iron Fist thus far. By no means perfect, but has a strange charisma to it. I'd agree with that. It does have a strange charisma. Like, I enjoyed kind of the story.
Yep. Uh-huh.
But yeah. Brandon says, Iron Fist is about as good as Arrow/The Flash. I think people expect more due to the Marvel Netflix brand. Yeah, I can see that. Dave says, I'll happily watch the series where Danny Rand just does nice things for people.
He's pretty nice.
Yeah.
If he wasn't always spouting off about stuff he maybe doesn't understand.
Jen says, funnily enough for a Kung Fu series, it's both ham-fisted and clumsy. Best show ever. And Ezra says, only two episodes of Iron Fist and it feels like it was written by Tommy Wiseau. Not a fan.
Boo.
Boo.
You chatter like monkeys. Your kicks and punches are like lace curtains. That's the thing that he says.
Yeah. What a prick. Yeah. Back where I'm from, they put a boy on his knees and hit him with sticks for 4 hours.
That's right. That's right. There's a point in it where he's talking to Colleen Wing.
Yeah.
Who, again, I think she's great in this. Mm. I think she's a great actor, good kung fu.
She's good. I wouldn't be surprised if she used some martial arts or she do some gymnast stuff.
Why wouldn't you be surprised about that, James?
Because she's Asian.
Oh, cool.
No, because of her fluidity with her movements, Mason.
That's true. Oh, yeah, there's one point where they're talking about something and he's like, and Danny Rand's like, yeah, we've both suffered. Have you?
No, he has.
He hasn't, though.
He's been hit with sticks for 15 years.
Right, that's pretty bad. He was a billionaire's kid for the first 10 years.
Yeah,
of his life.
I know.
Sure, his parents died, but everybody's parents die. So that's not.
Yeah, but 10 is harder than later.
Yeah.
Look, I understand where you're coming from.
He could have left Kunlun at any time.
No, he couldn't. No, he was trapped there.
No, but he could have just hung out. He didn't have to want to be the Iron Fist. There were like a million other people who also wanted to be the Iron Fist.
Yeah. Sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm not saying the first 10 years of his life wasn't great. I mean, that guy used to kick him in the balls.
Yep.
But
it's true.
But like 10 to 15 was pretty rough.
Yeah.
Like you can't argue with that.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. They're the same, Mason. Yeah. Don't you get it? They got the same spirit. Do you get it?
I get it.
Good. Mm. What are we reading?
Oh, it was nice to see Carrie Ann Moss as well.
Yeah, she's good.
I think Claire Temple and Hogarth should team up. Rosario Dawson's character, she's cool in a crisis, she got skills, she can fight.
She got skills.
She knows what she's doing
she's
at all times.
She's got tiger claws? You
Maybe.
See that episode?
Yeah.
Where she fought, she had bloody tiger claws,
just
mate.
Give her a show.
What are you framing around, though?
I don't know.
Just like people bring her different superheroes and be like, ugh.
Yeah, she's got to mentor a different dumb superhero every time. She's got to every week she just hears this. She wakes up and she just hears this wet thump outside of her door, and she opens the door and there's like this bloody superhero on her doorstep, like in a mask,
in a makeshift costume,
bleeding. They've got ninja stars sticking out of them. She's like, ugh, and she's got to pull all the ninja stars out, put them back together, deal with their weird idiosyncrasies.
Feed them. They go to work.
Yeah, they go to work. And then she shows back up and they've been stabbed again and they've got some sort of weird
issue. Wrecked her apartment. They've had a karate fight.
Yeah, exactly. And they've got some sort of daddy issue, or there's some sort of crippling social phobia or something. She's got to fix it. And then they're like, okay, see ya. And then next day, all over again.
That's exactly it.
Right.
You know what? Doctor Strange is a lesson in avoiding race casting controversy. Because really, why weren't people like, Benedict Cumberbatch should be an Asian man because he went to the Orient and
learned
powers.
But Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like they deflected onto the Tilda Swinton character.
Oh, I see.
Do you
right,
know what
okay.
I mean? I think
I
that was more kind of deftly handled.
Are you saying that...
They needed to change the race of somebody else to deflect.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Maybe.
Yeah. Do you see what I mean? I mean, it's not the same story, but there's a lot of very similar elements. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
no,
yet,
you're right.
And yet Doctor Strange kind of avoided a lot of that. Mm. Maybe it's also because they had a fairly kind of multicultural cast.
Probably true.
I don't know. Anyway, Mason, it's fine.
Also, who was that rando guy that shows up and he's like, I'm Wing Sensei.
Oh, no, he comes into play.
I know all your powers for some reason.
No, you'll
okay,
see.
Right, okay,
yeah.
Cool.
He's your dad, Mason.
What?
Anyway, it's time for...
Well, what are we reading?
What are we going to read?
Yeah.
I'm doing the thing. Do you read anything?
Yes.
Then what you reading?
Oh, I read the new issue of Injection is out.
What is that?
My favourite ongoing comic book. It's Warren Ellis and Declan Shalvey.
Yeah, yeah.
They did that Moonlight run that I like. And as I say about Injection, it's like, because I'm sure I've mentioned it before on this, but there was a long run between issues, but there's a new story arc that started, and it's essentially, if you can imagine, the X-Files, except it turns out that Mulder and Scully were secretly responsible for all the stuff they investigated. It's kind of that vibe.
Good.
Yeah, it's real good.
Sounds like that Doctor Who spin-off set in a warehouse. Or is that Warehouse 13? No, I'm thinking of, it's not a Doctor Who spin-off.
Okay,
don't worry, Mason.
Nice,
sounds
won't
good.
Worry.
I'm watching, I did watch Star Wars Rebels. I'm going to spoil it right now. So spoilers for the if you haven't seen Star Wars Rebels, because you're never going to watch it.
I'm never going to watch this.
Okay. No. So I'll put in the timestamp if you haven't seen it yet. So Darth Maul is returned. You probably know he's back. He's got robot legs. And this whole season has been building up to him finding Obi-Wan and confronting him.
Oh, yes.
That's been his focus.
And when's this set again?
A couple of years before New Hope.
Okay.
So it's old B-1 Kenobi.
Got it. Gotcha. Nice.
Thank you.
Was he young B-1 Kenobi for a while, for a couple of seasons, then he's old?
No, he's you haven't seen him. Oh. So he hasn't been around since Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, I see.
They've got a holocron of young B-1 Kenobi.
Right, okay.
Who's like, stay away from the Jedi Temple, it's fucked. Like, they've got that.
Nice.
And then they got a new voice actor to do the Alec Guinness one, and it's the same guy who did Admiral Raditz.
I've spoken to Admiral Raditz. I met him on the internet, on the Steel Wars call-in show.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And he does a bang on Alec Guinness. He's really good. But anyway, so this whole series, or one of the arcs of this series, has culminated in Darth Maul finally finding Obi-Wan Kenobi to exact his revenge.
Where's me legs, you prick? Share with me legs.
Well, Obi-Wan's not responsible for his legs.
Mm.
Both bits fell into the pit.
That's true.
Anyway, so, and it comes down and they have like a bit of a standoff.
Ooh.
And it's a very, imagine how long or short do you think the fight is?
Oh. I couldn't say. 1 second or 10 minutes?
It's closer to 1 second.
All right.
So there's a bit of a standoff. They kind of change stances.
Yes.
And then they clash and Obi-Wan like sweeps through him like, in like his second move.
Oh, wow.
And Darth Maul tries the thing he did on Qui-Gon, if you remember. He kind of hits him with the lightsaber and then stabs him through the chest.
Yeah.
He tries that, but in doing so, Obi-Wan just like cuts him through like downwards.
Oh, and he's dead.
And it's done. So he kills him, right?
Wow. And there's he's canonically dead now. He's not coming back.
And there's a bit of kind of like, that was the shortest fight ever that I was supposed to build to, you know, it was going to be this epic. But I don't, I thought it was a really good, shows the growth of both those characters. One's been like consumed by rage and guilt and anger, and all he wanted to do was destroy Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan's tired of everything. Yeah, he's tired of everyone's nonsense.
Exactly. He's been sitting in the desert meditating, watching a boy who he can't visit for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he doesn't have time. Or he's just, not even, he's just kind of like, I'm past this. Like, I don't want to do this. You should probably go.
Nice.
And I thought it was a really good kind of combination of that story arc. Like, initially you might think it was anticlimactic, but I thought it was really great, like really well handled.
Right,
as opposed to a 10-minute flipping through the desert off Dewbacks and whatever.
Because what can you do in an animated series? Even with, you know, it's animated, so your budget can be whatever. But at the same time, it's just going to be flips and lightsabers.
They've fought before, in animation, like
this
a number of times.
This is a very mature handling of everything.
Yeah, I really thought so. So I just thought it was... No, I think it's well... Even if you're not a fan of the show, because I think Rebels is... It's up and down because it is also a kid's show. A lot of people don't like to admit that, but it is. There's a lot of like child-friendly elements to it, but there is the kind of the darker, kind of more mature stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a really good example of that. So I thought it was just... I just thought it was really well handled and worth talking about. Spoilers over, Mason.
Would have been a good 10-minute lightsaber fight, though.
Oh, so many flips. So can you imagine?
Robots there could have been robots. They could have jumped into speeders.
Shield
and
generators.
Then spaceships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Activated a droid. A defense droid.
Light speed. Made the jump to light speed.
They're in two light speed crafts going side by side, swiping at each other.
Yep. Exactly.
So many opportunities missed. Mm-hmm. But no, I think it was, I don't know. It's weird because like it feels like the battle is kind of being fought before they start. Because they're eyeing each other off and they're like slowly changing stances. Like that is actually longer than the battle itself.
Right, okay, that's
like they're
fine.
Kind of sizing each other up. Mm. Yeah, it's really good. Anyway.
I like it.
Anything else?
No.
Then play the lettuce thing, Mason.
Theme.
I don't mind if you do.
I'm gonna though.
I said I don't mind. You can play it.
Shh. I'm playing it.
Permission granted.
I'm playing it. It's thinking.
Ready to go.
Yeah, all right. Wi-Fi.
The classic one was a lettuce. Oh, lettuce. We love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. Now they're here right now, we're gonna do letters.
I don't have a letter ready, can you?
You don't have a letters?
Yeah, I don't have a letters ready.
Okay, well, do you want me to just read in the tweets that I've got while you're looking for a letters?
Yes, read some tweets.
Okay, no worries. If you want to reach the show, you can hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter. Mason or myself will find them, and then we'll read out some. Also, if you want to send an email to us, at weeklyplanetpod at gmail.com, and Mason will find your email live on the show.
That's right.
All right. This is from Thomas Hanley. Would you like to see? Would you like to see if the DCCU would lead up to a flashpoint and have J.D. Morgan, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Thomas Wayne Batman? So, do you want to see? I think we've talked about this. Do you want to see Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who plays Bruce Wayne's father in the start of Batman v Superman, become future
Thomas Wayne, future Batman? Absolutely, I do. Yeah,
me too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Ben Affleck, but if you want a reboot, that's the way you do it.
You do the Flashpoint universe, and then you just, at the end of it, you snap everything back and you put in new cast and new everything.
Ass.
New cast and new ass. Absolutely.
So that's pretty good. Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't see, they could be building to that because there's sort of been some time travel maybe or flashbacks.
Uh-huh.
But I think a lot of that stuff, either by accident or on purpose, I think it could be an accident. They have actually lined up this universe to do that if they wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've cast a guy who could do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is time travel, as yep. I just said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why not?
Do you think Jeffrey Dean Morgan, like, sometimes he's not doing anything and he just sits at home and he's like, this phone call's going to be sweet.
Yeah.
Like, they call him up.
So much money.
Oh, that's right. I'm the linchpin that's holding this universe together. Everybody's going to hate your universe unless I step in. Interesting. How very interesting.
That's right. He's holding the Walking Dead together at the moment as well.
Yeah, right, okay.
When he bothers to show up.
That guy's great. I like
him. He's really good.
He was great in The Losers, a movie that nobody likes except me.
And me.
All right, cool.
It's way better than The A-Team, which came out around the same time.
Correct.
He was great in Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird when he plays like an 18-year-old version of himself, though.
Isn't it, though?
Doesn't work at all.
No,
he's great. He's well worth the price of admission. Mm-hmm. He's Dean Winchester's father from Supernatural.
Did you call him Ding Winchester?
Yeah, Ding Winchester.
There's Dean, and who's the other one?
Sam.
And Ding. The three brothers.
There is actually a third Winchester.
Ding Winchester, I know.
Yeah, that's right. You want to do the letter first, or do you want to
let's do a letter. Okay, right. So this is from Ben Dow. Hello from Canada.
Hello.
I've been a long time listening to the podcast and wondering if you guys might do a drunk recording of it. I reckon we'll do a drunk commentary at some point.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I don't know.
Because there's less pressure.
See, people say they want that, but do they really? Do you know what I mean?
Well, this one says, notice a lot of the other casts I listen to are getting on board with the idea.
Yeah, but they're bad blokes, though.
Yeah, I know. They're all bad blokes.
And Sheila's.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, like, this is also that's it. Look, sure, we'll probably end up doing it by accident at some point.
Right.
But
well, I'm not a big drinker, so
yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah. We don't know how you'd handle it.
Yeah,
and I'm a naked drunk, so who knows how this.
Oh my goodness!
But what was I going to say? It's like whenever like I've emceed a few weddings in my day, Mason. I'm officially retired. I don't like doing
it. Officially retired.
Yes,
wow, right.
Because it's a job. Come to my wedding, but do a job. And people have always said they're always like one of the big incentives is, oh, don't worry, you can drink as much as I want, much as you want. And I always say, if I drink as much as I want, you don't want me to get up and do this. Do you know what I mean? Like, I cannot do it.
Uh-huh.
The point is, I don't know how it would go, but we'll probably end up doing it.
I reckon we should do a commentary.
It'd have to be
something
a short
real
one.
Bad.
It'd have to be a short one, though.
Really? Okay.
Because we'd have to sustain that level.
Because drunkenness. Yeah,
you want to kind of, you want to be that buzzed, but you don't want to kind of bottom out or get too drunk.
That's true, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I got a pretty good handle on my drinking, but I don't know. How do you feel?
I'm a real cool guy when I'm drunk.
You'll have a couple of ciders.
Well, my limit's three at all times.
Okay.
So after three of anything.
Yeah.
And I just find a nice couch and I have a lie down.
This is
again, I take my shoes off. That's the rules. Where you take your shoes off, nobody can mess with you. And then you just go to sleep.
That's not a rule.
It is a rule.
It's absolutely not.
Email in, folks, if that's the rule.
I wouldn't care if your shoes are off.
Wow, because you have no honour.
I have no honour.
You fight like lace curtains. Your kicks and punches are weak, not like the tiger. No honour. Very dishonourable.
I think you could kill a man with a lace curtain.
I think so, yeah.
All right. This is from Camping Catastrophe. That's cool, isn't it? Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Is there no room for original characters in comic books anymore?
Good question.
Yeah. A lot of stuff has been done. A lot of it is, it's not so much it's the story you tell more than who's in it. You can make a good story based on anybody.
Yeah, and also I think does that say superhero comic books or just
says,
comic books?
Comic books.
No, I think there's heaps of stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's plenty of stuff to be said. In fact, I think maybe something that has yet to be said in comic books a lot is just real people doing real stuff.
Right,
maybe.
Yeah.
Like I think maybe superheroes in a way are kind of done to death. Maybe that's the problem is that there's only a limited number of superhero archetypes.
There's only so many capes you can
only
have.
So many capes. There's, you know, if some
cape at the front and the back.
What? But none on the sides.
It's more of a poncho, isn't it?
It's more a poncho, yeah. In a way. I don't know. I mean, I think, if you listen to our friends over at Serious Issues podcast,
yeah,
they review all the number one issues that come out every week.
Yes.
And especially some indie stuff, people are just pumping
some of
out
the creator
stuff.
Owned stuff.
Real good.
And they always say, Levin says that they always give the creator owned stuff like more of a shot than the Marvel stuff and the DC stuff.
Because Marvel's always going to be about the same.
If somebody's pumped in the time and the money and the energy, into do that off their own accord, like then obviously that's something that you'd give a bit more respect to.
Something they recommended last week is a series called Grass Kings, which is sort of set in a big old open field, and it's kind of like a feudal, it's like a trailer trash feudal world kind of thing, set apart from it's in the United States, but they don't recognize the laws of the United States, and it's kind of like a knight's kind of feudal kind of situation,
I enjoyed it. Mm. I enjoyed it.
See, there you go. That's a fun new idea.
And maybe that's something,
a fresh new idea.
Maybe that's something we'll be looking at bloody promoting on the show in the future. Not that in particular, but like maybe some creator-owned stuff.
Totally.
We've been talking about it. So, mm-hmm. Watch this space, Mason.
Watch this space. He's giving me the finger, folks.
Gotcha.
No, wait. He's turned it around. He's given two fingers, but now he's turned around on himself.
Oh, no!
And he's crying, because the fingers were actually meant for him.
It's not true!
He's sad on the inside.
He's using theater of the mind. Mm. I actually rolled him, but that's not how that came across then.
No, he rolled himself.
I got wrecked, mate.
Mm. Yeah. And now he's stepped in front of a car in New York, and he's not good enough to flip over, and then he's dead. Good night, everyone.
That's the show.
That was a rough flip. Some of the flips were okay in that show.
Yeah.
The flip did not feel cool.
Some of the jumping offense stuff looked good.
Yeah.
Some looked very obviously wire work. Mm. There's a fight in the rain later on. It's not really a spoiler. But as I'm watching it, I'm like, this is pretty good. Then I'm thinking, is it just the rain? Like, I remember being impressed. Anyway, where can people find us?
Oh, we're at Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook and Gmail and Twitter and Bandcamp.
Yep.
We might do a drunk commentary.
Maybe.
Maybe, who knows?
Who does know?
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies.
If you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com.
Give us your money!
/ Mr. Sunday Movies. If you want to donate a buck or two to keep this Budweiser light lit, this neon Budweiser sign on that.
I got to get the globe replaced.
If you could do that, that would be great. Or you can go to, we've got an Amazon affiliate link that's in the episode description. You just click on that. You go to regular Amazon,
mm-hmm.
buy something there. And we get a little kickback somehow.
Yeah.
We've got some t-shirts on tpublic.com.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
I think that's it. Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all the themes. Thank you to At the Weekly Planet. That's our friend Robert Collins.
Oh, he's great.
Who's the best part of the Weekly Planet.
In a way, he is. Even more so than the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dog's right here.
Yeah, look at that dog.
You don't understand because you're a dog. Yeah, I know. Maybe she does.
That was
I feel a little bit bad now, but not a lot bad.
She's giving you the dog bird.
Oh, no.
It's turning on herself now.
No. The dog's full of hate for itself. Yeah, that's it. Thank you to everybody who subscribes and listens and tells everybody about it. That's how we get around.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, other things. Also, if you want to donate, if you want to throw any money our way, maybe do the donation instead for the
November
campaign.
November campaign. Yeah, that'll be in the episode description.
Also, I tweeted out the brother that you like.
Yes.
Was shaving his head for cancer.
Yeah.
As someone pointed out, not for cancer. I should have said against cancer.
Sure. Right.
He wasn't shaving his head in support of cancer.
He's just staring people down, going, I hope you get cancer.
And I think just from tweeting out, they got like an extra $1,000 from that, which is awesome. So thanks, everybody. And thanks to him for looking like a real big old egg.
Has he done it already?
He has, yeah.
Great.
I haven't seen a clear photo of it yet.
Well, you don't want that. You'd go blind.
Yes, I would. Yeah.
What's a thing? What's the last thing? What another thing to say?
Next week, Power Rangers?
Oh, and Ghost in the Shell.
Is that next week?
No, actually, that's the 30th, maybe.
Okay.
So that's in a couple of weeks.
Two things. Okay.
Yeah, two things. I don't know if we're going to count.
Okay, which is going to be better?
You'll have to remember. Oh, Power Rangers. I think Ghost in the Shell is going to be better.
Yeah, agreed.
Again, there's going to be some controversy.
Why? Because ghosts aren't real?
Yeah, because ghosts are not real. And we've got to pretend they're real for like 2.5 hours. Nonsense.
Ah, oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you for listening to this.
Yeah, thank you for listening, guys. We'll see you at the live show.
Yeah.
On Saturday. Well,
we're only going to do maybe 20 or so minutes, and then other people are going to come up. There's going to be a panel. We're going to introduce the other podcasts and whatnot. It's going to be a bit of a thing. If that's boring, there's an open bar afterwards. So
yes,
I'm not open. I think it's beer, wine, and
everybody
champagne.
Gets a drink on entry. So,
and you get a drink, yeah,
look,
so
if we're not that entertaining,
don't worry
just
about
get
it.
Real sourced.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Do your own drunken commentary.
Yeah, man.
There's a thought.
We're not your mother.
Is your mother going to be there?
I think so, yeah.
She's going to be there, isn't
she? Do you want to say hello?
No. I'm going to be thinking about it the whole time. I did not invite my family.
Really?
I didn't think about it, if I'm honest.
I didn't invite most of my friends because I don't like mixing worlds. Because yeah. I find it easier to do it in front of people I don't know as opposed to people I do.
There you go.
Because if I crash and burn, the people in my life won't see it. So, they don't really care about anything I do anyway. So
that's the spirit.
Because yeah. They have real jobs and real pressures and the guilt of working in finance. They got that to deal
Look,
with.
Look, we've all suffered, haven't we?
In a way. See you next week.
Wrap it up, champ. You guys, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.